Very good to be with you. Excited to be with you. We have a full house tonight. Right on. Well, glad you could join us in person. Glad you could join us on a live stream. My name is Paul, for those of you that don't know me, and it's great to see you. So new faces and familiar faces. I have the privilege of sharing with you tonight, and I just wanted to share just by starting and saying, you know, for me, I think the longer life goes and the more I realize for myself the little that I'm actually in control of. I don't know about you, but you know, maybe in your life you feel like, and maybe you are in control of so many things, but I have to say that the longer life goes for me, the more I realize that I'm not really in control of all that much. I'm a parent. I've got two little kids at home, and you know, in the realm of parenting, you think, you know, when it's coming in the future, you go, oh, you know what, I'm gonna nail that. I'm gonna do okay. I got this. I'm not gonna make the same mistakes my parents made, you know. And see that guy over there and the way he's parenting his kids. I'm never gonna raise my kids like that. Heaven forbid, right? And then you start parenting, and then you realize how little you know and how little you're in control. And parenting is hard. And I have to admit that there's probably some times in the last while I've got a 16-month at home, and it feels like I have a 16-month-old dictator at home running my home. Now, that's in good fun. It's not always like that, but there's certainly some challenges. And, you know, I think it's not only parenting that's made me realize as I get older in life that there's little in my control. I think we have to admit that for all of us, we plan life and we look ahead and we think things are going to go a certain way, but life doesn't always pan out that way, does it? Life sometimes throws us curveballs and surprises, and it looks different than the way we'd ever thought or intended. And sometimes those things are good, and sometimes they are awful, and they're hard. You know, and that's life. And you know, I was reading through scripture, and I know that for me, that often going through these experiences, if I'm paying attention, and if we're paying attention, we realize that actually, regardless of what life can throw at us, there are some truths in life that we can plant our feet on and that they will see us through, no matter what life could throw at us. And often it takes going through some things. We'll call them experiences, life experiences. It often takes going through these life experiences to find those truths and find those things in our lives where we can stand and stand firm. And tonight, as I was reading through scripture, I found one of these when I was reading some of what the Apostle Paul wrote when he was writing in Romans. And I want to dive into it. It's a scripture we actually know quite well. And, you know, leading up to this, Paul was kind of, you can see, leading up to this passage I'm going to read, he was acknowledging that, hey, life is full of challenges and hardships and difficulties, but no matter what, nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. And then he comes at this recognizing that, hey, guess what? Life doesn't always play out the way that we want. But here's the truth. And here's what he says. And this is where we're going to pick up. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. And it's in Romans 8:28. Can you guys hear me okay? This mic seems to be a little hot. There we go. Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." You've heard the scripture before, I trust. So Paul's saying here, he starts this and he says, "We know." We know. I think that's interesting because he's using this in a way to basically say, we've observed and experienced, therefore we know. And sometimes, like I said, it takes going through stuff in life to know. So Paul's not only gone through stuff in his own life, and we all know from the life of Paul that he went through a lot, but he's also looking at this from the context of the historical account of knowing God and looking back at the beginning of time and going back historically and going, actually, not just in my life and my experience, but if I look back historically, actually, I can see how God works. And this scripture can be true, and this can be a place that that we can plant our feet. And he says, we know from this place of experience. So for us, we know. And what do we know? How do we know that when we read this scripture that this is actually something that's applicable for us? Well, let's look at it. You see, Paul knew from firsthand account, And then he looked back. And for us, many of us have had our own experiences, I trust. And we can certainly look back and see what God has been and what he's done over time. And you know what's amazing is that God does not change. In Malachi 3:6, it says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I mean, he doesn't make any bones about it. He makes it really straightforward. I, the Lord, do not change. So the truths that were true for Paul are true for us. God does not change. So how can you might look at that and hear me and say, but how do I know, Paul, that this is applicable to me? How do I know that what you're saying is actually something that I can stand on that's going to get me through my life? And the answer is because he has called you. The answer is because he has called you. And it's in this verse. And this is where we're going to go. We're going to look at being called by God. And I'm going to take from this little passage and we're going to unpack what Paul's teaching us here. What does it mean to be called by God? If we want to understand this, if we want to dig deep, we're going to have to understand that this is a love story. It's like wanting to get into a house. If you want to get into the house, you got to go in through the door. This scripture, the door to this scripture, to understanding this, to getting to the place where you can go, I see it, but I'm here and I want to be living in that. The door we're going to go through is love. This is a love story. I'm sorry for those of you that maybe aren't the sappy romantic folk. This is a love story when I'm sharing this. It is. It's a love story about a loving God that has called you, that has sought you out. And how can we know that we can trust him? How can we know that we can believe this scripture that God can turn all things to work together for good? And it really comes down to understanding God's love for us. We know what the scripture says. It says that for God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only son for you and I. There's a love from God that calls us and calls us by name. So when we look at the scripture, I have to just warn you and break it to you. When we read this, unfortunately, what I'm not going to give you in the next little bit of time here is a little roadmap to how to get everything you want in life or how to make everything easy. That's not what this scripture is telling us. When it says that all things will work together for the good of those who love him, it doesn't mean just everything's going to work out in life for you and it's all going to be perfect. See, the goal isn't for you to have a perfect life without any trials. That isn't it. That isn't the intent of this. This is a story of us falling in love with a God that fell in love with us and that is pursuing us and wants us to walk in relationship with him. And it's from that place, it's from that perspective that we can actually understand what this truth is and understand what it means to be called of God and how he can work things together for good in our lives. Are you following me? Do you want to know more? I hope you do. So it says, and we know for that those who love God, love is that key. For those that love God, it's a key for us. You know, when I come to God, it isn't about what I can get. When I come to this heavenly Father, this mighty, powerful God, it isn't about just what I can get. It's a response for this revelation of, hey, he's loved me, he's called me, and my response back to him is love. We reciprocate that back to him. How can I not love him? How can we not? He called me out of my small, introspective world. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2:9 that he's called us out of darkness and into light. We're singing this song, "You've been so good to me. I don't know where I would be if it weren't for you." Man, I can attest to that. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here, that's for sure. At 15, I was pretty heavy into drugs and alcohol, and I was not a good person. That was 15. And 15 to 18 were my darkest years. But God sought me out, and he took me out of darkness and brought me into light. How can I not respond in love to this God that saved me from that? And he's brought me into a kingdom, and he's brought me into relationship and relationship with him. And
I just want to take a moment while I'm sharing. I actually just want to take a moment and pray briefly because I know this is a scripture we know, but I'm really feeling and trusting that God wants to speak to individuals through it. And I just want to ask you right now that would you prepare your heart for God to speak to you individually? Not just to hear a message or a topic, but actually to allow this God that loves you, that's called you, to speak to you. Let's just open our hearts wherever you are right now. Father, we just ask, Lord, God, open our hearts. Open our hearts. God, we want to receive what you have for us. When we look at this scripture, we want to be a people that love you and that go deep with you. So we just say, come and speak to us. We invite you to come and speak to us. Come and speak. Come and have your way. We want to hear from you tonight. We want to hear from you directly, Lord. Amen. Amen. I trust he's going to speak to you as we go through this. So for us, what does it mean to be called by God? What are the truths in this passage that we can look at? The first one for us is that we are called to relationship. We're called to relationship. Romans 8:28, it says that for those who are called according to his purpose, the scripture tells us in many places and in many different ways that he's called us and that he has chosen us, and he's done it intentionally by name, you and I. We're not here by accident. For any one of you that can remember what it was like when you met your significant other and before that relationship started, how many of you were just longing for the other person to make the first move? Maybe it was just, I'm the only one. All right, okay, there's a few. Thank you. We got a few honest people out here. All right. You know, you kind of want the other person to make the first move, to show their cards, to kind of let you know that they're interested. Why? Because it kind of saves you the fear of rejection, right? Rejection sucks. Not fun, right? Well, here's some good news for you. God initiated relationship with you. He initiated. He started this. Let's look and see what it says. In John 15:16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Jesus tells us, he says, "You didn't choose me first, I chose you." God chose us, and he chooses us in relationship. And he didn't just come to save us from sin. He didn't just come to save us out of this darkness and kind of set us free to do whatever we want. He saved us to bring us into an intimate and personal relationship. A relationship that we can plant our feet in, a relationship that we can grow in, and probably the most and is the most significant relationship you're ever going to have in your life if you choose it. But it is up to us to choose it. Because as he's initiated, we must respond. And that's that piece of for those that love God. That's the response for us. I think many people, many believers consider calling and they wonder, well, what am I called to? What's my calling? I've been there. I've certainly been one of those. And when we understand calling and I'm unpacking this piece of being called by God, what I want to say first and foremost is that your primary calling is being called to relationship. You're called to relationship. It's calling with a capital C. And it's the most important calling on your life and my life. Nothing is more significant than your call to relationship. And for us as believers, we know that it's in that place where we find identity and purpose. But everything that we do for God, all those things that often are what we think about when we talk about calling, those would be callings with a capital or with a lowercase c. And what I mean is that those are personal callings. And those are ways that God works through our lives, sure. But the most important, most significant one is actually being called to relationship with God. Let's see what it says in Revelations 3. It says, Revelations 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." just when I was looking at this and reminded of this, I'm reminded of a God that isn't pushy. He isn't forceful. He's knocking. And he comes and he knocks at the door. There's an invitation to relationship. And maybe you're here and maybe you're a believer and you've chosen Jesus and you've responded. Amazing. If you haven't, and you're even maybe watching online, I want to say that Jesus is here and he's knocking. And he's knocking now. And he just wants relationship. Maybe you're a believer and have been for some time. And maybe you got tired of having Jesus at the table with you and you put him outside. Maybe. But I want to say that God doesn't run away in relationship. He doesn't turn his back on us. That he's still knocking. And even for us that have him in relationship, there's still areas of our life that he's probably knocking on. And he's constantly calling us deeper into relationship with him, that we would know him more. This is Jesus. He comes and he knocks and he doesn't kick the door down. For those of us that have chosen to walk in this relationship, you know that actually that in so doing, this relationship is life. It's unreal. The scripture tells us that God came so that we could have, that God came through Jesus so that we could have life and life to the fullest. There is no more exciting life that you could ever live than one that's in close and intimate relationship with God. We're called to relationship with him. You know, Nate preached, I think it was two or three, maybe 3 weeks back, and he touched on this piece of identity, and he talked about how we're co-heirs with Christ, how we're sons and daughters, and it's actually in relationship, friends, that we find our identity. And as we come to know who he is, we discover who we are. And there's nothing higher than what God says about us. Nothing. And if you didn't catch that message a few weeks back on identity, I want to encourage you to go back a few weeks and listen to it. And if you're still searching and wondering who you are, can I encourage you, if you're trying to find that answer, you're going to find it in your relationship with God. Go and pursue that relationship, and you're going to discover more and more of who you are. And the Bible's pretty clear. It tells us that we're all called. There's nobody excluded. He's calling every one of us into relationship. So what else do I see when I look at the scripture, when we talk about being called by God? What do we see? What else do we see? Well, I think in this verse, we can see that it says that we are called to his purpose. We're called to his purpose. And as I said, with relationship comes identity, and with identity comes purpose. And you can almost say it this way, that as we discover who Jesus is, we're going to discover who we are and what his purpose is for us and how he wants to work through us. And if you haven't heard it yet, God has a plan. God is on a mission. He's extending his kingdom. He is having the message of Jesus shared around the world. Why? So that every ear would hear, that everyone would know who Jesus is. He's on mission, and we each have a part to play in that. And he does it through his church, which is us, gathered corporately. We come together like this, it's the huddle, and then we go out, and God takes us into our spheres of influence to be his hands and to be his feet. And his intention is to work through us. I think when I consider this piece of calling, this is where we start to look at personal calling and what that looks like. And I think one of the first mistakes that people make, especially around calling, one of the first mistakes is that we often make this thing of calling about us. You might think that that's odd, that I would say we make this thing about us because it's a personal call. It's about me. Actually, believe it or not, it's not really about you. It's about him. Remember it said, when we read in Romans, it's talking about his purpose. You see, God doesn't need us. He chooses us, right? He chooses us. And if you remember, he even chose a donkey at one point and worked through a donkey and spoke through a donkey. So guess what? He can use anybody, which means he can use you and I, hey? so we can take a deep breath. It's okay. He can work through you. He's choosing us, but this is about him. This is about his plan and his purposes. In Isaiah 43:1, look at this. It'll help us understand that. It says, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." We can take this scripture and know that actually we've been grafted into the people he's addressing here because of Jesus. But look at how he says this. He says, "I created you, I formed you, I redeemed you, I summoned you by name." This is about him. Calling is about him. The Bible tells us that we belong to Christ, that we were paid for in blood, right? It says that he went to the cross for us. We were bought with a price. In Romans 8:23, it says we are called to what, right? To his purposes. We're called to his purposes. So when we talk about personal calling, this is about him. We're just the vessel he's choosing to work through. And I think that should take some of the weight off. I feel like when we talk about calling with believers, so many people put on this weight of, oh, calling, whoa. And there is some weight there, and I appreciate that. But it actually, it isn't about you. It's about what God wants to do through you in relationship. I think one of the other big mistakes when we consider personal calling is that we can actually put personal calling on a pedestal. We inflate its significance. And what do I mean by that? I think sometimes, because calling is speaking of something that God has for us, not just here and now, but it's something that God has for us to walk into. And it's a journey, and there's probably a process for us to experience some of what maybe God's calling us to. And you can look at it, and maybe there's a call, and the call's way up here, and you've heard somebody say or give you a prophetic word or a picture, and they say, "Hey, man, we really feel like, you know, you're going to be," and they pick what? One of the fivefold ministry gifts, maybe, from Ephesians 4, and these are significant. And they say, "Hey, you're going to be a pastor, or you're going to be a prophet, or you're going to be a teacher." Sorry, Nate. These are incredible gifts, they really are, but how many of us knew that that just doesn't happen overnight? And we look at it and we go, oh, and I'm paralyzed because I resemble nothing of what that is. And somehow we get lost and we think that the calling is the destination, but the calling is not the destination. The calling is not the destination. Are you following me? You guys are quiet. The many different callings that God has, whether it's these ones I've mentioned, or whether it's other things, some of the other spiritual gifts we know God calls people to, which might be to areas of things like leadership or serving or administration or maybe an encourager, and on, the list is long, we don't have all night, but there is so many things and they're all unique and they're incredible, but you know, all they are is an expression of what God is doing through someone that is walking in personal and intimate relationship with God. That is it. It is what God wants to do through someone that's walking close in relationship to him. If I can demystify it perhaps a bit more for you, the closer you are in relationship to God, the more evident your personal calling is going to be, because God's just going to be working through you. I feel like sometimes we disqualify ourselves from that. We think maybe we're not good enough, or my life doesn't quite line up, and we're not perfect people, are we? But you know, God doesn't ask us to be perfect. He doesn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to walk in close and personal relationship with him. And as we do it, friends, as we do that thing, we're going to see this personal calling worked out in our life. We're going to see God shine through us. A good picture for you to consider is, have you ever taken a flashlight up to a diamond and allowed the light to go through it and project onto the wall? You ever seen that? It's like that for us. God comes and he shines through us, and it's what he does through us. That is personal calling. But it isn't the stone that's significant, it's the light, it's him. And it causes us to consider Jesus and others to consider Jesus. That is the purpose of calling. So the last point for us when I look at this scripture for us is that calling is a journey, not a destination. Calling is a journey, not a destination. God has called us, absolutely. But it doesn't just happen overnight when we talk and consider personal calling. It's a journey. It's something we walk through. You know, when it comes to marriage, when my wife and I got married, a wise couple told us, they said on the wedding day, they said, you know, Hollywood's got it wrong. They always end their movie when the couple gets together. And then it's this, and they lived happily ever after the end. He said, they got it wrong. That's actually the start of the journey. That's the start of the journey. And the adventure is what happens from that point on. And I can tell you that's been my experience in marriage, is that it's only just got better and better and better. I think many believers get stuck with just stopping at the start of relationship with Jesus, and they don't pursue the depths of what God has for them in relationship. And, you know, for us, I want to say with calling in relationship with God, that this isn't a destination. It's a lifelong journey for us. We're never just going to arrive. You know, I think of where Paul starts when he writes this, and he references the challenges and the significant issues that are happening, but he says nothing can separate us. And then he says that all things will work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his name. And it's a truth we can stand on and apply to the things that we face in life. It's like he looked forward and said, look, I know you guys are going to go through things, but this is a journey, and this is something that you can take and you can apply. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can put your faith in him. And when we do that, faith in this context is faith, meaning fantastic adventures in trusting him. Faith. It's a journey. Fantastic adventures in trusting him. That's what God has for us in this relationship. It's exciting. We should get excited. Y'all are asleep. We should get excited. It's exciting. It is. He's got an incredible adventure for you and I, and it's a journey, and he wants to see us through. And like I said, this isn't going to be a formula that we can apply just to make everything easy for us, because you know what? Life is not going to be easy. It isn't. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some things. But you know what? The promise is that no matter what we go through and how it works out, even if our prayers don't get answered, the promise is that God will take those situations and circumstances and he will work them together for his good. And how can you know that? How can you know that? You can say, well, how do I know that, Paul? The answer is simple. It's because he has called you. He has called you by name. And all we do to respond to that, to receive that truth, is say yes to him and love him in return. That's it. It's pretty incredible. Usually things that good cost us something, don't they? Man, it's a pretty easy response for us. You know, Paul knew that it was a journey. He wrote this in Philippians 3:13. And then we got to land this, but it says this, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. For Paul, this call was a journey. It was a call that had no destination on earth. He never arrived. It was a call that had its destination in eternity in heaven with God. And for us, that is the goal of our salvation. That is the goal of this calling. It's to spend eternity with God in heaven. And I think when we have that perspective, we can read the scripture and have a better understanding when Paul writes this. Because I feel like sometimes we read the scripture and we go, man, how on earth is God going to make these things work out for good? How many of you honestly thought that? I'm telling you, I've been there. How on earth can you do that? Man, when we look at life through this eternal perspective, we know we can trust him and we know he can do that. Because why? God does not change. Why is it applicable to you? Because he chose you. I want to invite the worship team up. And we're going to sing a couple of songs, but I honestly really feel that God wants to speak to people, that he's in this, that he's calling you, he's reminding you of who you are, that you've been set apart. And maybe it's just to a deeper, more intimate relationship. Maybe that's what he's knocking on your door for. Maybe actually there's a word that you've had over your life that's in the realm of calling, that's been something that's significant, but you've never understood it. Or something you've walked in and it hasn't happened in a long time. And I just feel like God's saying, come in, come closer. I've got more for you. I've got more for you. I'm calling you by name. I'm calling you deeper. I'm going to ask, why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. I'm going to let the team lead us in some worship. But friends, God is worth trusting. He's called you by name. And wherever you're at, this is a truth we can stand on, that he can work all things together for good. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you don't change, that you are worth trusting. Lord, tonight, and for those watching, God, I ask, Lord, as you've been speaking, God, we ask that we would be a people that would respond to you. You're always initiating, God. Sometimes we just aren't paying attention. Oh, we ask you to speak to individuals. Speak to individuals, Lord. Let them know how you see them. As dearly loved, as sons and daughters called and set apart. Let them know, Lord, they're not insignificant. You haven't overlooked one. You haven't overlooked one. Just as we transition to worship here, I just invite you to have some relationship time with your Father. He loves you.